Gieva agus Falchico Gian Clor come and look last gale and a shock in the show. Let me Tom Cormack with you as usual on a Wednesday night. I'm here at Line at Dock and I hope you can stay with us because, Donegal Junior Clubs Red Hughes and Niamh Fulton are in the spotlight tonight. Of course, they are playing in Donegal's Junior A Championship final on Sunday afternoon. That game with Red Hughes and Niamh Fulton is the curtain raiser to the Kilcar versus Niamh Connell Senior Football Championship semi final on Sunday afternoon. But as I say, the focus tonight very much on Red Hughes and Niamh Fulton. And we'll speak to the respective chairman, Andrew Doherty, chairman of Red Hughes, and Terence McGinley, the chairman of Niamh Fulton. And they'll be looking ahead to Sunday's final. And obviously telling me what it means to both clubs. We'll be joined by those in a moment, but of course the Sam Maguire is back in Dublin once again. Congratulations to the Dubs, best team in the country, and certainly deserved it on Sunday. There might be only 3 points between them in the end, but Dublin were the much better side. I've heard a lot of criticism of this game, and it wasn't a spectacle by any means, but conditions on Sunday in Croke Park for anybody that was there were pretty difficult, and the rain was pretty heavy, and on this new surface in Croke Park, it doesn't seem to throw up any mud or muck or whatever, it can be quite slippy. And I noticed on several occasions when you're there in real time watching players, they're difficulty holding their feet and one thing or another. But congratulations to the Dublin and deserving victors, as I said. 3 points in it in the end, and we could have had got a draw, but who knows. And Kerry are All-Ireland Minor Football Champions again, defeated Tipperary 4-14 to 6 points. Pretty easy victory for the Kingdom. Of course, they defeated Donegal last year and they retained that title. And certainly Jack O'Connor, of course, already All-Ireland senior winner with Kerry, and he's moving up to under 21 now, so he certainly knows how to bring teams together, and don't be surprised to see him winning All-Ireland's at under 21 with Kerry, and maybe moving back up to win maybe All-Ireland's in the future again with the seniors. Certainly one of the top managers and maybe one of the unsung managers of modern games, certainly very much in the shadow of possibly Mickey Hart and even his own Eamon Fitzmaurice, who seems to get all the plaudits. So I think Eamon made a couple of boobos on Sunday in Sunday's final. But Dublin and Kerry are the champions, and that means that club football and club hurling is very much on the scene. And as I said, our focus tonight is on the club action here in Donegal, and in particular that Junior A final meeting between Red Hughes and Niamh Fulton. And first, before we hear from Terence McGinley, the chairman of Niamh Fulton, first hear from Andrew Doherty, who is the chairman of Red Hughes, who are appearing only in their second ever junior final. Andy Doherty, delighted you could join us, and I'm sure good excitement down round the Cross and Killigordon this week.
Oh, there is, Tom. Yeah, it's been a long time now since ourselves has been in a county final, you know, of any description, you know. But, you know, we're trying to keep our feet in the ground as well, because we also have a battle in front of us with the league, you know.
Yeah, and of course you have maybe loftier championship ambitions going on your championship pedigree. It's not that terribly long ago since you were competing in senior finals.
Well, that's true, yeah, that's true. I suppose when you look back to the late 80s, early 90s, you know, Red Hughes was a very dominant force in Division 1 and indeed in the Senior Championship. But I suppose when you look at things, you know, things come in turnarounds, and you'd certainly hope that if we could get a result on Sunday that we could move on from there, you know, and push further back up into maybe intermediate, you know.
Yeah, and as you said, obviously keeping the feet on the ground, because Division 3 football, and I was speaking to Donal Reid earlier in the week, that's his concentration, survival there, and I suppose it's been really turned round in recent weeks in the championship, because you're having a dismal league campaign, really.
Yeah, we are in a severe dogfight there now. I suppose our best option now is a playoff, you know, and we lost on Saturday night to Ballyshannon in a very tight and intense game, you know. But Division 3 survival, of course, you know, was as vital, like, you know, not taking nothing away from the Junior Championship, because, you know, it is it's great for the lads, especially to get out in McCool Park on a county final day.
Yeah.
But again, as I say, the league is very important to us, and we still have a chance. We still have a chance there to survive, you know, and hopefully, as I say, we can.
A big change around since Donal Reid came in and took over from Stephen Friel.
Yeah. Donal has got a reaction from the players. You know, Stephen done a lot of work there this last. That's his second year he's with us, you know, and done a lot of work with us, and things just didn't seem to go for us. You know, wee breaks, drop a ball here, drop a ball there, just didn't work for us. You know, and Donal come in there, and he, you know, we had two championship games, quarter-final and a semi-final, two fantastic results for us. As I say, we did lost the league game last Saturday, but there was a kick up all in it, you know, and yeah. He has got a reaction from the players.
And got a few players back as well, has he?
A number of players back, yeah, as well, yeah. We were missing a few players there during the year due to one thing or another. You know, Marty Boner wasn't about much this year, you know. A couple of younger fellas as well, Shane Gallagher there, lads, you know, the boys I get that were sort of tied up with work as well, as you know yourself, and it's not easy getting out there. And young Johnny Carlin has come in there into the middle of the field and has made a big impression, you know, as well, like, you know.
Yeah. And it is a relatively young team, isn't it?
It is pretty young, yeah. Pretty young. I suppose the oldest man there at the minute now would be PG Gallagher, and PG's paid along with me, so he's a brave age, you know.
But we won't go into that, so.
Yeah, but PG will be the senior man there age-wise, right? I'll not say what age he is, but like, you have Eugene Brown there as well, and Damien. Jared Malat, lads, they get this up on the you know, the early 30s, maybe, put it that way.
Yeah.
But then you have a group of lads then coming, you know, 21, 22, and yeah. Then down as well. And like a young fellow there, Conor Gallagher, is on the probably, you know, he's in the subs, like he's 17, and you know, a great prospect as well, you know.
Yeah, and of course you have Stephen McMinniman, haven't you, and Gary
well,
Kelly.
I have Stephen there as well. Gary Kelly, former county minor. Stephen, well, I think everybody knows about Stephen, you know, he's
member of this year's and last year's minor team, you know?
Yeah, Rolls Royce of a footballer, as a lot of people have said about him, you know, and
yeah.
He is exceptional, you know, and brother Thomas there as well is a good hardy buck as well, you know, on the ball, you know. But like, you know, look, you're picking out individual players there, as we all know, Tom, it takes a team.
Yeah.
You want to give him football, you know. But
As we said, the pedigree is good, and a lot of those names are names we've heard before. Second generation, maybe some of them even third generation playing for the club.
Oh, indeed, yeah. I suppose, like, as I say, well, Johnny Carlin, obviously, is a son of Declan's there that played with the club, and of course, a nephew of Marty's. That's one of our probably best known club players, you know. And but the McMenamin dynasty now is coming, you know, there's quite a number of them lads on the team, you know, cousins and brothers and so on and so forth, you know.
Yeah. Before we talk about the junior championship and the final and looking forward to it, tell me, great strides made at the club, Andy, over the last few years. Fantastic new facilities there, double new playing pitches, and fantastic new clubhouse. And I know I was up there a couple of years ago we did a programme one night from it shortly after the official opening.
Yeah. Tommy, the club has made massive strides behind the scenes, I suppose, outside the football side of things. Again, I suppose we'll touch on the football thing a wee bit more as well. The underage work is done there by the underage coaches. Our minor board chair, Marie this year, Marie McCoggan, in the past there as well, Stephen Gallagher, you know. And then, as I suppose, the knock-on from that, the move was made up to the grounds. A lot of money spent on it. But again, you know, the park committee there that's involved, the senior men of the club, a lot of them involved in that, you know, Joe Swinney, Tommy Kelly, Dennis McGill there as well, you know, Samuel Pappas and them boys, you know, they've done a serious amount of work initially to start this thing. And I suppose, you know, it's the same as everything. We tramped around the roads selling tickets and all that kind of crack, you know. And
well, of course, Red Hughes is famous for its ability to raise funds, I think. It's one of you'd be winning a lot of championships if it was for raising funds, I think.
Well, I suppose maybe that's the one, right? I remember going to a house in Clonmany a number of years ago, and the woman says, you just couldn't be back again. You know, so, you know,
did she buy?
Sorry?
Did she buy?
She does. All good people up there now, they always bought a ticket, you know.
Yeah,
always bought a ticket, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a lot of work done, as I say, and the facilities are very good. And, you know, you'd love for our footballers, or senior footballers, to probably reflect that on the football field, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the facilities that we do have, you know. And hopefully they will.
And as we said, you know, you may have had loftier championship ambitions, and as we said, that not that terribly long ago was knocking on the door at senior championships. But you know, it may be the basement, but it would be a start to win on Sunday.
Oh, it would, of course. Yeah, you know yourself, the habit of winning is the best habit you can have in the world. You know, and to get a wee bit of. Like, it's the 2003 season, the last time we were in junior final, you know, and it's a long, long time for a club.
Yeah.
You know,
have the club won one? I think they may have won one, have they? No.
We won one junior championship in 1981.
Yeah.
The first year the club was refounded. You know, again, boys, like, I suppose you had Marty Carlin was playing in that team, you know, when Donal was playing in that team, and you boys, you know, that was the period of the club. The first year the club came back into existence again was the one that won the junior championship, you know, when, you know,
many similarities when you start naming that team with this year's this current team.
There is, yeah, there is across there with names, right there, you know, and I suppose you have Jerry McCaughan there as well as the assistant manager as well, you know, another man that was there, you know, you know, and you know, but as I say, look, you know, we always have lofty ambitions, but you have to start at the bottom, I suppose, and work your way up, you know.
And as you said at the outset, really, you know, survival in Division 3, Red Hughes doesn't want to go, shouldn't go to Division 4.
No, but, you know, the league doesn't lie either. You know, if you don't, the performances don't reflect, you know, the result. If you, the results count, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when we are bottom of Division 3 for a reason. We just haven't been performing, you know. And but you can see the confidence is ebbing through the boys at the minute, you know, and hopefully we can kick on from Sunday, get a result on Sunday, and then kick on the league as well to survive, you know.
And tell me, what have you to do in the league? How many games have you left, Andy?
We have 4 games left, with 3 at home and 1 away. We're depending now on results as well going in our favour.
Currently bottom, aren't you?
We're currently bottom. Downings are above us. I think there's 3 points between the both of us, but they have a couple of games in hand on us, you know, so we're looking for results to go our way as well. Like, you know, when, we have Downings to play at home as well, which will be, that'll be
a four-pointer.
You know, we still need results to go our way as well. You know?
And of course, you defeated Downings in the championship as well. You've had a couple of, just tell us about those great results in the championship.
Yeah. If we come up against Neil Padlock, Muff, you know, and to be honest, on our run of form prior to that, Muff would have been favourites coming into the game, but the lads, you know, lifted it, especially in the second half. Now they seem to pull away, but you know, and you know, you could see the confidence growing as the game went on. And then against Downings, they were just unreal. Like, you know, Steve McMahon was unreal that day. You know, he was just running the show from full back. You know, and he, as I say, look, we all know his qualities. You know, but the confidence is the thing you can see coming back into the players. And again, with winning, that's what happens. You know, players gain confidence by winning games, you know.
Yeah. Look, Andy, thank you for joining us, and the best of luck on Sunday.
No bother, Tom. Thank you.
Andrew Doherty there, chairman of Red Hughes, who are playing Naoi Fulton in the Donegal Junior A Championship Final on Sunday. Of course, that game, a curtain raiser to the Senior Championship semi-final meeting of Niamh Connell and Kilcar. Indeed, it's a very busy championship weekend here in Donegal, Derry and Tyrone, with championship semi-finals in all 3 counties at senior level. And of course, we have that junior final here in Donegal. The first of the semi-finals here in Donegal is on Saturday night. It's in McCool Park and Ballybuffet. It's 7:30 throw-in for that one. St. Michael's versus St. Junan's, the champions, and that promises to be an interesting tie. And of course, as it says, Niamh Connell versus Kilcar on Sunday afternoon. And in Derry as well, they're down to the last floor for Slochneil, joined to Ballaghy, Ballanderry and Coleraine last night when they came through their quarter final, and a very low scoring game, it has to be said. There must have been a lot of blankets around Owen Beg last night. 6 points to the reigning Derry and Ulster champion Slochneil, 3 points to Ballaghy, and I think, or 3 points to Ballinascreen, and I think Ballinascreen scored 2 of their 3 points in the opening 20 minutes, so that tells you a lot about the type of game, and certainly quite a lot of quality forwards on view there this afternoon, last night, so certainly not a game for forwards. Ballaghy will play Slochneil, and Ballanderry will play Coleraine in the Derry semi-finals on Sunday evening, actually, both those games in Owen Beg, Ballanderry versus Coleraine, the first of those games, and a semi-final time in Tyrone as well, a senior championship semi-final at Dromore and Killeclawer on Friday night, and that promises to be a real cracking game. And then on Sunday, it's Trellick, who have been going very well, Matty Donnelly and company, against Coal Island. And that certainly is on Sunday. Both those games in Healy Park. It's Dromore versus Killeclawer on Friday night, and Coal Island versus Trellick on Sunday afternoon. But back here to Donegal, as we said, we spoke to Andrew Doherty a moment ago. He's the chairman of Red Hughes, and of course Red Hughes are playing Naoi Fulton in the Donegal Junior Final on Sunday afternoon. And Terence McGinley is the chairman of the Naoi Fulton Club, and I'm delighted to say Terman joins us from his home in Dunconeely. First of all, a good night to you, Terence.
Good night, Hello, Tom. How are you doing?
Good. And, well, we heard Andrew Doherty there hoping to get the win and telling us about good excitement around the Cross and Killigarden this week as they look forward to the championship, though they have obviously league ambitions as well to retain their status. What's the mood like around Duncan Ely?
Oh, the mood is getting up to a bit fever pitch now. We're all looking forward to Sunday, and the people around in the area around here, Duncan Ely, the Bolton area, is all looking forward to go to Balbuffet on Sunday and hope they can put up a good performance and indeed hopefully maybe come back with the cup. But we're all looking forward to the game anyway.
On the topic, having it.
Sorry, Tom.
You're having a great season. You've already won the Division 4 league, so you've already a trophy in the cabinet.
We have indeed, Tom. We had a very good season now. In fairness, we've been striving and trying to get out of Division 4 this last 8 years. And we've got two playoffs and we've got beaten. And we at the beginning of the season, our aim was to get promoted to Division 3. And thankfully, we are in that position now. But we were very fortunate down through the whole year, the whole league. We were very injury-free, and we had good ones, and played some very good opposition. And we were lucky, as I was in a lot of cases, but we won the league, and we had the league won without... We dropped 1 point to Lifford at the beginning of the league, and that's all we'd done. We dropped until we had the league won.
You lost the game, I think it was away to Mobile.
We lost away to Mobile.
But you had the league won at that stage.
We had the league won at that time, and Mobile beat us by 1 point over Mobile in the league game at the end of the season. But we have the league won, yes.
And I was amazed to find out earlier in the week, speaking to Brenda McCready, our manager as well. It's quite you were in the final last year as well, lost out to Orris in the final. I think there were 4 or 5 points in it in the end. And the team, you've lost 6 or 7 of that team.
We have indeed. It was surprising when the PRO was doing the programme that we were going through the team last year. And it was very surprising, all the players we did lose.
Yeah.
We lost three at the very beginning. One chap went to America, one chap went to London, and one chap transferred to Dublin, who's given his great service down through the years, but he felt that he his travelling was a bit putting him out. So he transferred to a club in Dublin, which we had no problem with. But then there were other players that didn't really come into the fray at all that was there last year. So we did lose a lot of players.
So it's great achievement. But I know you've been very strong in reserve for a few years, and obviously that has paid dividends.
Well, my theory in about reserve football, I think if a team hasn't got a reserve team, they're in big problems. I think reserve football takes on younger players. I would like to see all I know it's over 17 now from next year on, but coming in to play reserve for a year, first, it gives them a great bit of a confidence and gives them a great opportunity to learn more about the game. And we did together, we have some very good young players in our panel at the present time.
Yeah.
Very good.
And a good experienced manager as well, Brendan McCready, has done a great job over the last couple of years, hasn't he?
Brendan McCready has put in a massive amount of time and effort, and Brendan McCready, a gentleman, and has done a good job and has taken on the Bolton from where they were 3 or 4 years ago and has done great work with them.
Anyway, just before we maybe look forward a little bit more to the final, just give us a little bit. This is, you've won a couple of intermediates, but is this a first? Well, you have yet to win a junior.
We have, to be honest with you, Duncan Ely, as there was no one, won a junior championship in 1936.
Right.
And we never won, when we were reformed in 1974, we never won a junior championship so far. Now, last year was the first time we got to a junior final, and were beaten, Orris beat us fair and square, no problem. Now, we going back, Tom, we did win a Shield Division 3 final in 82, and we won a Division 3 league in 83, and we won an intermediate championship in 1984, in the centenary year.
Yeah.
Now, then we played an intermediate championship. We're beat by Narossa in 89. We're beaten by Milford in 92. And now we won the intermediate championship in 2002. We beat Bunkranna in the final that year.
Yeah.
And we were beaten, as we said before, by Oris last year in the junior championship final.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is now, hopefully this will be our first championship, junior championship won.
Yeah, yeah. And in terms of like all small rural clubs, obviously immigration and migration and one thing and another obviously has a great effect on you down the years. And I suppose that has... Or has it? Is that the reason why we've seen the ebbs and flows and the valleys and the peaks?
Yeah, I would agree entirely. Immigration and the non-availability of players that would have gone to college, that would have gained employment elsewhere, all that has hit us fairly bad down through the years. And, you know, one year we'd be building, the club would be building a good team, and the next year we'd realise we're three or four short of that team and we had to start, you know, off again.
Yeah. So it is a small club. You have it from a very small pick, haven't you?
We have a very, very, very small pick now. Now we're in a small club area, and you know, we do have a pick and a small pick now. That's all I can say at the present time. We have a small pick and we're doing our best. With thanks be to goodness, we have a great community effort here, and we have a lot of people working and underage football and coaching and all. There's a big effort being put in and it's paying dividends.
Yeah, and of course we mentioned, I don't know if you were listening to Andrew Doherty earlier, we talked to him about the facilities they have there with their clubhouse and their playing areas. You have a fine clubhouse and fine playing facilities as well?
Well, yeah, we have definitely developed our playing pitches and our club rooms and our dressing rooms and all since we started in 74. Now the conditions weren't so good, but we have a pitch now that is very good. We play a lot of underage finals and semi finals and divisional things on it. So and we have a family here very close to the pitch has given us a field that we have lights up now for training, and we're using that field now for whatever length we're going to use it. And it's a great, we have good facilities, Tom, to be honest.
Yeah, over such a short time. Tell me, way back in 1936, I know you weren't playing or even about at that stage. That time, was it much the same club area?
Tom, now, I just wanted to reiterate that I definitely wasn't about 1936 now.
Yeah.
But The club areas at that time, Tom, were a different...
And I know we're going into a thorny area now, and there's going to be a lot of decisions made in the next couple of weeks, and we don't want to go down to that over tonight.
We're not going to go into boundaries tonight at all.
Turns people, delegates that will be going to county board meetings, they'll be delighted to hear that are listening to the programme tonight.
They're probably fed up listening to me now about boundaries. But anyway, we're going to keep fighting our case because we feel we have a relevant case. But at that time, Tom, the immigration wasn't the same as it is now. There were teams in St John's Point, there were teams in Nuckanilly, there were a team in Crow, you know, and they all came together. Brooklands was a big one, and there were plenty of football in the area. But then in 1959 the club disbanded, and nice. It was immigration. And people had past the age of playing football, and there were no young people coming behind, so it disbanded in 1959, Tom.
Yeah.
And it was resurrected again. A few of us got together in 74, and we reformed the Dunkinney team, that was called Neil Bolton then, and ever since that we've been a lot of people has put in a great effort down through the years.
And tell me, Terence, during that period when there was no club in the area or no football in the area, where did the young men play that time?
Well, what was happening at that time, Tom, very simple, was there were a few playing for St. Noel's, and there were a few playing for Killybegs. And there were a lot of players that didn't get a chance of playing football.
Right. So what prompted the formation of the club again?
Well, Tom, I'm not taking any credit, but what I'm saying is that I was involved with St Olaves. I was chairman of St Olaves in the early 70s, and I was chairman actually when we won the junior championship in 1972. But then when I got married in 1970, I started living in Ochonilie, and a few of us got together and a few of us spoke about it, and we decided to call a meeting and try and reform or get the club up and running. And that happened in 74. And we went to the county board in 74 and put a proposal to the county board. And it was copper fastened. It was agreed then in 1975 that we would be formed again as a club.
And who was with you at the start of it?
Going back now, I mean, Willie Mackey was a stalwart that time. Christy Kelly, Jimmy Byrne, God rest P.G. Kennedy, Jack Fury. You know, now look at, I'm leaving out people, but I'm only just, from the top of my head, just giving names that I can remember well. You know, John McCready, Paddy McGuire, people like that had an interest in Gaelic football, but it never happened in Dunkinley.
Yeah. And tell me, where did the name Niamh Walton come from?
Well, Niamh Walton came, God rest, Father Cunningham was our parish priest here, and we became a parish in 1972, the parish of Killicktee. And Father Cunningham was our parish priest here, and Father Cunningham used to attend meetings. And one of the things was that it would be named. It wasn't going to be Dunkinley. We retained the colours, the black and amber, but the name was going to be changed. So I can remember it well that Father Cunningham suggested Niamh Walton. There's a place here down in St John's Point called Killalton.
Right.
And it had some ties. Now,
Church of Walton, is it, or something, yeah?
There was a tie-up with Niamh Walton in this area. It was accepted that night, and we went ahead and called our club Niamh Walton.
Brilliant. And obviously it would mean a lot to win on Sunday, though the first goal was to get promotion, which you've already achieved.
At the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the last few years, our main aim was to gain promotion. Now, we got to playoffs. We got to playoffs last year. As a matter of fact, Red Cues, we drew with Red Cues in the first game up in Bundoran, but Red Cues beat us, and that's grand, no problem. So we owe Red Cues one now. Oh. And it would be a great bonus now. We got our promotion this year, but to win a championship would be tremendous.
And, of course, prime billing on Sunday as well. Curtain raiser to the big game, Kilcar and Niamh Connell.
Yeah, I was telling some of the people from Niamh Connell that it must be an honour for them to play after a county final. But, that was joking, of course. But, we've been privileged to play before a very important game, a county championship semi-final. And we had hoped that, our support would be big. And we would hope then that a lot of the support for Niamh Connell and Kilcar would be coming. At least the second half, and maybe see a bit of football and maybe, lend their support to us, some of them.
Look at Terence, unfortunately the clock has beaten us, but it was lovely talking to you, and thanks a million.
No problem, Tom, thank you.
That's Terence McGinley there, the legendary chairman of Niamh Walton Club, looking forward to that final on Sunday. That's, of course, the Donegal Junior A final championship meeting of Red Hughes and Niamh Walton, which is on in McCool Park and Ballybuffet. The music in the background tells you it's time for me to go. My thanks to my two guests tonight, Andrew Doherty of Red Hughes and Terence McGinley, who you heard just there a moment ago. And again to Jimmy Stafford, who operated the sound tonight. Thanks a million, Jimmy. Until on Shocklin Shogun, Slán Agus Bannock.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Broadcasting throughout the Northwest and across the world online.